Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Swing and a line drive left field. Benintendi coming on, dives, and did he make the catch? He did! He got it!
Here we go. It's time to party. Right here. 3-2.
High, he drives! He crushed it! It's a grand slam!
Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome to Benny and the Bets Podcast.
Can you believe it?
Here's your host, Terry Cushman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Bets podcast. Tonight, covering Red Sox hot stove. So, entire episode will be about the Red Sox. Kind of a twist on it. We are going to name six free agents that we do not want. And spoiler alert, there's going to be some disagreements tonight on some of these. So maybe some of us want them, but each of us picked two that we don't want. We're going to have a debate. With me tonight, Charlie Smith, Job Goddard. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing well, man. This is the first time I think I get to work with JG over here. First time I've seen anybody in a minute. It's just been me and Brad just kind of hold down the fort on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Which, of course, I never mention at the start like I should. We do have a YouTube channel now, and we've been uploading a few videos a week. They're relatively short. We're trying to keep them around 10 minutes.
Absolutely. We've been doing well.
Doing all right with it. We're getting it reined in. And so, so you can get some extra content on there. But Job, second episode in a row, trying to get you into a groove here, you know, since you've joined the crew. How are you?
You know, I'm super excited to be working with Charlie, you know, first time. I'm doing great. You know, today's my birthday. My city's burning down. It's been an interesting day. But I'm excited to talk some baseball and, you know, get away from politics for a little while. Thank God.
Is today really your birthday?
It is, yeah.
Happy birthday. Hey, by the way, the city burned down on your birthday, man.
I know, man. I got a lot of texts today about how the party was getting too loud, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure, dude. Everyone's just super excited to celebrate for you.
Yeah. A little too excited in some instances, unless you ask Harry, but we'll
Yeah.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Anyway, I do like my very best to keep politics off of this, you know. So I don't think I've bitched about the lockdowns a little bit, but you know, for the most part, my raging, you know, other stuff stays on Twitter. But yeah, so, you know, it's a cold January night. What are we, January 6th? If all goes well, we're what, 5 weeks away from spring training? Maybe just over that?
A little bit, yeah. Before
6 weeks.
Just have to report, yeah.
Yeah, 6 weeks. All right, so getting there. So we're going to get into six free agents that we don't want. Some of us don't want. Starting with Charlie in the leadoff spot. Who's the first guy you want no part of? You don't want the Red Sox to sign.
I'm buying no shares. In fact, I'm donating my shares. Anyone who's dumb enough to think that this man is going to be the answer. He's going to eat up your money. I don't see him being anything fantastic because there is just nothing there. Jake Odorizzi, I know I'm going to receive flack for it. You can enjoy that beer for two, Terry, because I think anyone who has any sips of that are going to think that this man is a solution. He's had one good year. One. Last year, 2019, not this past BS year, 2019. That's it. The man is not consistent. He got paid $18 million. The man's going to command probably upwards of over $50 million. He's going to probably command $17, $18 a year. I don't think he's worth that kind of money. Minimum, bare minimum, he's getting 2 years, 32 with a player option and or team option. It's going to be 3 years minimum. I can't justify spending that kind of money on someone who's just it's like throwing money at Brad Penny. Why would you do that? Like, what are you thinking? It's not logical. He had one good season. He's hit 10 wins a couple of times, but his ERA for the most part hovers over four. His career ERA is 3.92. He has a career record of 62 and 56. This guy does not scream champion, and he does not scream $20 million a year. It's ridiculous. So that's my venting on Odorizzi.
Charlie hates Odorizzi. Job, what do you think of Odorizzi?
I think he's one of the more likely options that we're going to sign this offseason. I don't love him, but I like him more than some other options that we'll talk about in a minute. I'm going to disagree with you, Charlie. I think he's had three good seasons. I think he had a good season in 15, good in 16. He was pretty good in 19. It was his only All-Star appearance. All three of those, I mean, he was under a 370 ERA, which I would consider to be pretty good in this hitter-happy offense, offensive league that we're in. I don't count 2020, so that is what it is. He always throws for about 150, 160 innings. He's got a couple of 190s in there. He's reliable. He'll go every fifth day. He's got that connection to the Rays, which we know that now the Red Sox are definitely Ray happy guys. So I don't necessarily love him, but I could definitely live with him as my number three starter. I don't know if I could live with the money that he's going to command. Like Charlie said, he's going to command 40 to 50 million. I look at him and I see a number four, maybe a number five, and we're going to pay him like a number two. That's unfortunate, but that's the market that we're in for starting pitching, I think. And I think the Red Sox are willing to commit years to this guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if we end up with Jake Odorizzi. What are your thoughts, Terry?
Yeah, let me get him in, and then Charlie will let him. So a 3.92 ERA makes him the second best pitcher on the Red Sox staff outside of Tanner Houck, who has a tiny sample size. So I mean, Erod's above him career-wise, so is Evaldi. Chris Sale, obviously, drastically lower, you know, is a bona fide ace. And he had a 6.59 ERA in 2020, but he was pitching injured. You know, he had a back issue, only four starts. Charlie mentioned he did have a good year in 2019, 3.51 ERA. Also, what's notable is that in the playoffs in 2019, the Twins got swept by the Yankees, but in Odorizzi's lone start, he pitched five innings, only gave up two runs against that Yankee staff. So, I mean, there's no perfect option out there. You're going to overpay for Bauer. You know, a lot of these other options have injury issues, performance issues. And I think Odorizzi is probably going to command a deal in the $14 to $16 million a year range. If you want to take the higher end of that, that probably puts him on track for a three-year, $48 million deal. Far less than what Rick Porcello got. Far less than what Nathan Eovaldi is getting. And I think he potentially could be a number two or a number three. And, you know, I'm a big Dave Bush guy, and I think I need to see more of 2021 to kind of confirm that. But a lot of guys had turnarounds last year with Dave Bush as their pitching coach. Nick Pivetta, Martin Perez was pretty good. Nathan Eovaldi was pretty good throughout the year. Both of their ERAs, Eovaldi and Perez, were blown up by a couple of bad starts where they got shelled for 7 or 8 runs. But I think you put Odorizzi under a guy like Bush, and I think he's just going to be a solid middle-of-the-rotation guy that gives us a chance to win. And I think if you're going on a 3-year deal for Odorizzi, you probably end up parting ways with Erod, but he's certainly got his baggage as well. So I'm an Odorizzi guy, and I if you took a poll on Twitter, there would be a sizable number of people that probably wouldn't be in favor of him, probably at least 30-40% that, wouldn't be, but I think I'm in the slight majority that would sign him.
My issue with Odorizzi, and it's funny that you brought up Rick Porcello, because Rick Porcello and him are very similar. They do pitch a lot of innings. They pitch a lot of games, and they eat up a lot of innings. They strike out a decent amount of people. But Rick Porcello had this really ugly Josh Beckett syndrome where he'd do real crappy 1 year, and then he'd win a Cy Young, and then he'd forget how to pitch, and then he'd remember, and then he'd forget again. And it was like playing Russian roulette with a fully loaded weapon. You lost every damn time. Now, with Jake Odorizzi, he's going to make a decent amount of money. If they consider paying him Nate Eovaldi money, that's going to be pretty frustrating. That's like inviting yourself to failure. Not trying to have that happen again. Odorizzi compared to Porcello, I would still take Porcello over Odorizzi based on the innings eating and ability that there's at least a 50% chance you might see a good Rick Porcello. There's like a really slim chance you're going to see a great Jake Odorizzi. I just can't justify paying him more than, honestly, paying him more than 14 or 15 million a year. But I know that the team that gets him is going to do 236, 235, or maybe a little bit less with incentives that he will hit to make it 2 for 36. If the Red Sox end up getting him, great. I'm sure one of those seasons he's going to get absolutely destroyed. And we're going to be revisiting this, and I'm again going to be entertaining dinner from both of you for doubting me.
So here's my thing, Charlie. You say that you would rather have Rick Porcello than Jake Odorizzi. Is that at this money that you're talking about? Because two and four, that's a lot of money to be giving a guy that you're saying doesn't have the brilliance that Rick Porcello shows, but can give you those kind of innings. I mean, are we going to pay a number five or number four that much money?
That's the thing, is you're talking that he's going to fit in as a 4 or 5. Are you going to pay $20 million for a guy who's going to be your number five guy? Like, that's dangerous.
It is, but I mean, if you look at it, the one thing that he does give you is consistent amount of innings, right? And that's the one thing this rotation hasn't been able to give you.
And what's Odorizzi's career at Fenway Park look like? Like, what's
I'm going to be honest, I have no
admittedly,
idea.
Admittedly, it isn't great, but
it's not good. You don't have the best offense right now in the Red Sox. The Red Sox are not going to be competing in the American League East. The Red Sox will not win the American League East. They will not be going to the playoffs. They will have a losing record. You heard it here first. This is potentially worse than the Red Sox you saw when Bobby effing Valentine was the manager.
Okay, I'm going to that's too much for me. That's too much for me. I was with you right up until you said Bobby Valentine. That was – you lost me.
Do you know how bad that team was?
I watched every game. I remember. I don't think we could be that bad. If we are that bad, then I don't know if I can continue to do a show every Wednesday during the season. That might be – Terry, we might have to
thing. Terry, luckily, we haven't had a terrible full season yet, so – but anyway, with Rick Porcello, though, 5.64 ERA in 2020, short sample size, but the season before, 5.52 ERA. So basically very similar And I just, he's going to get probably a minor league deal, I think.
Yeah.
I just, so that I wouldn't go there at all. I think Odorizzi was trending upward, and it was just too bad that, you know, 2020, you know, had the back issue. The upside to that is he'll be cheaper now, but I don't know. We're all far apart on Odorizzi, but, you know.
He's better than Porcello now. He's better than Porcello now, but I can't justify spending him. I don't want to talk too much about Odorizzi. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a believer. I will be happy to admit, I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say I was wrong if I'm wrong. I just don't think I'm going to be wrong about this.
What if it's a two-year deal, just a straight two-year deal? No option.
How much?
$15 million a year.
30?
Yeah, so 30.
I would do that. 2 years, 30? Yeah.
Okay.
I would say okay to 2 years, 30.
I think he's getting 3, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's 2. So, all right, we'll move on to the next one. Job, who do you have?
All right, so this is the only one that I'm going to say I would not raise my hand and say I was wrong and be happy about it, is if we re-sign Jackie Bradley Jr. I don't want Jackie Bradley Jr. on the 2021 Red Sox. I don't need to go over, you know, all his stats and explain why that is, except that I don't know if I could watch that many strikeouts in our outfield this year. When you combine them with the signings we've already made, we're looking at about 380 to 400 strikeouts just in our outfield alone. And I'm a big but Jackie Bradley Jr.'s best season, right, where he went on the absolute tear in 2016 for the month and a half that we had him, we should have dealt him then. He saves 14 runs a year defensively, and he costs us at least that much in strikeouts. He's going to get a multi-year deal from somebody. It's going to be probably the Astros or the Mets, and it'll be 3 years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 35 million, if I had to guess. And if the Red Sox pay him that to continue to strike out the way that he has been, is unacceptable, and he's not getting any better. His OBP hasn't been rising, with the exception of 2020, which I don't count. It sticks around 315. It's actually going down since 2015. And I just don't think his glove is necessarily worth the strikeout rate. They do need to fill that hole in the center field. We've talked about it. I just don't want him to be the guy. I can't watch that many strikeouts.
I think there's a chance the Red Sox end up getting him back. And that's just because of the level of inconsistency and just lack of depth that they're going to have, quality depth. As far as defensively, you're not going to find too many other guys that can do what Jackie Bradley does. And yes, it's super fun to see the flashy glove and sacrifice one bat. But I do agree with Job on this. The strikeout numbers are bad. They're brutal. His batting average, again, subtracting 2020 because it was kind of a bogus year. We have no idea what would have happened if we played 162 games. For four straight seasons, went from 267, 245, 235, 234, 225, and all of the numbers were regressing except for 2019, which was the year where we saw the juiced ball. If we didn't have the juiced ball, I wouldn't be surprised if Jackie Bradley had only 10, maybe 11 home runs. His home run numbers, 26, 17, 13, up to 21 because of juiced ball. He's not a good hitter. He's a great defensive player, but a defensive player is a liability if you're going to be playing nine innings, because I have to have 3, 4, 5 at-bats of you striking out 3 times. It was awesome when he had that amazing hitting streak. He hasn't
done dealt him then. Should have dealt him then.
I agree. You know,
I agree with you, Charlie.
We just don't know what could have happened. Maybe, you know, he was 26 at the time. Maybe 27 he does, you know, the Xander, where Xander started to light up in his age 27, 28 season. We just didn't know. And that's the thing, is we thought, okay, maybe his offense gets better because his defense is already stellar. Then he becomes a 5-tool player. He can do everything. Maybe not steal as many bases, but who knows? We'll see what happens. He stole 17 bases in 2018. He can do it. He just hasn't done it. So now he's 30, probably not going to be stealing as many bases. You can't get Jackie Bradley back for more than a one-year deal. You're definitely not paying him $10 million. So if a team is willing to give him 2 years, 20 or 222, hey, JBJ, thanks for the memories, bro, but sayonara, bro.
No, I definitely agree. I think he's going to get 3 years. I really do. I know the market for him is huge. Teams that are interested include the Blue Jays, the Mets, right. The Astros, all these teams that really want to fill that vacant hole in center field and who feel like they have enough offense. I don't feel like we have enough offense or good defense. So, I mean, to me, he just doesn't do it for me. And, you know, I hope they don't sign him to the money that he wants, because we have Duran hopefully waiting in the wings to come up at some point in 2021 and be the heir apparent in 22.
Yeah. Terry?
You guys make a lot of good points. I mean, I'm basically right in sync with you guys. You know, you can't – if you signed Hunter Renfro and you're taking on all the liabilities he's going to, you know, present, you know, with his lack of getting on base, then you can't really sign Bradley. That being said, it's hard to not rule it out. I think the organization loves him. The fans love him. And it's so annoying because – it doesn't seem to matter how bad, unless your name's Pablo Sandoval, you're going to have 25% of the fan base that will take bullets for you. And there's probably a bigger chunk of the fan base than that that will do it for Bradley. And I've never been a huge Bradley guy. That streak he went on in 2016 was fun. It ended at, what, 29, 30 games. Nobody went to bed until we found out if Bradley got a hit. And that was fun. That was fun. And it was his best season. But it all went downhill from there. I've tolerated him at best. I mean, he's been okay in moments. He was the 2018 ALCS MVP. His only three hits. He was like three for like 20. And he was driving in two or three runs on each of them. So, but he won the MVP. I'm ready for that era to be over. And, you know, if we didn't have Renfro on the team, I could kind of tolerate it if it was like a 2-year deal. I'm honestly kind of surprised. His market seemed hot in, you know, November, December. You're hearing all these teams with interest, but he hasn't been signed yet. And
well, his market is going to depend on where George Springer goes, because the team that doesn't get George Springer, he's the runner up for the center field job, you know. Somewhere,
yeah.
This season,
Brantley too. You got Brantley out there too, and I think you would rather Michael Brantley over Jackie Bradley Jr. because one can actually hit the ball off of a tee and not on a tee.
I love Brantley. I wish we could be in play for him. You know, he doesn't move quite as well as he used to, but he's probably good enough to play left field.
Look at his numbers, bro.
I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. It would only be a 1 or 2 year deal for sure.
You know, you mentioned the strikeouts with Renfro. I mean, like I said, if you combine JBJ and Renfro's strikeout numbers, you're looking at 400 strikeouts, just those two, right? And so I understand that would make Renfro, a fourth outfielder. So maybe you're looking at a little less than that. But you can't have an outfield that does that and then only hits maybe a combined 40 home runs between, you know, maybe 50 home runs if you count.
Yeah,
count on a rebound from some guys. I mean, I just can't see that happening and being successful.
I just hope somebody signs him quick, and then it's not our problem anymore. You know, but the one thing, though, is it doesn't seem like anybody's like, you know, you can't really put him on Springer's level, but you saw the Mets. I mean, we all thought Real Muto was going to go to the Mets. You know, that seemed like a really high likelihood, but then they went the James McCann route, you know? So Bradley is the McCann to Springer almost in a way. So we haven't seen it yet, but if the Astros sign him tomorrow, you know, I'll take a deep breath, you know, or the Blue Jays.
Congratulations to them. Thank you, JBJ. It's been good. We'll see you at some point down the road.
Yeah.
That's it.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you for the memories in the bar.
Absolutely. Exactly. So, all right. So, my guy that I want no part of, ex-Yankee, and it would be fun to take like a good player from the Yankees. They've done it to us. I can't remember when we've done it to them, but this is a guy I want no part of, and it's not Brett Gardner. It's actually Masahiro Tanaka. 4.28 ERA in his last four seasons. Got utterly shelled in October. Gave up 6 earned runs in 4 innings against the Indians in the wild card series. That was the best 2 out of 3 series. Has 1 start against the Tampa Bay Rays. Gives up 5 earned runs. Again, can't pitch past the 4th inning. This is a guy that just looks completely washed to me. And hasn't been great the last few years. And I just don't see... I don't see him getting better, you know, with all those innings on his arm, you know, and we've had a debate on whether his UCL is still torn or if it isn't. I don't think it is. I think the PRP injections, you know, healed it, but those injections were like in 2015. So I just feel like if it wasn't completely healed, he would have been forced to have Tommy John by now, but still not a guy that I think puts us in a much better chance to win. And, you know, especially where we're looking at potentially a full 6-month season, plus hopefully a 7th month in October. So thoughts on Tanaka?
I'm going to disagree with you right off the bat, Terry. So he does have innings on his arm. He does have the injury issue. But if we don't look at 2020, right, those 2 starts where he got blown up, you're talking about the season of lost seasons. If we don't look at 2020, I mean, he was an all-star in 2019. He had a 4.45 ERA, which admittedly is not great, but he made 31 starts, appeared in 32 games, 182 innings pitched. Before that, pitched 160 innings, 3.75 ERA. He's been pretty consistent over the last couple of years at making his starts. Started 27 games, year before that, 30 games, 31 games. That's what we need on this team, frankly, is a guy who can just eat innings and not give you the 6 or 7 runs per game that some of these options give you. And frankly, I mean, Tanaka's always been decent at Fenway Park. I think Boston media wouldn't really, you know, phase him at all because New York media is very similar. The pressure is there. He knows how to pitch. I would take him on a 2-year deal. I would not take him any further than that. So if he gets a 3-year deal, sayonara, been fun. But I would take him on a 2-year deal. I would pay him anywhere from $12 to $15 million a year. And I think he solves a lot of problems for you because he's that guy who will start every game. And that's really what we've been lacking with all these guys hitting the DL. If we can get 30 starts out of somebody who's going to give you a 3.5 ERA, I think that solves a lot of problems.
He hasn't done that, though, in quite a while. But
I mean, yeah. He hasn't, but the flashes are there, and they're not that far back. I mean, he did fade in 2019. He had a great start to the season and then faded off late in the year, which is probably something to do with a lot of innings on his arm. But I mean, even if he, you know, if you sign him to a 1-year deal and you overpay him, which I don't think we, you know, is part of the market that he's looking for, if you can get to the point where Chris Sale comes back healthy and you really only need him to start 25 games, I think he could give you 25 quality starts. And that's really what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the guy who's, you know, pitched complete game shutouts anymore. He has a lot of complete games under his belt, like 7 complete games or something like that. I'm just looking for the guy to get you 5 innings. 6 would be great, but give me 5 and move it on to whoever the hell we fill the back of the bullpen. So, and I think he could do that.
This is my thing when it comes to Tanaka, as it was for a lot of other pitchers that have said, oh, you know, like what happened to them and this isn't working, this, that, and the other. When Kyle, I hope I say his name right, Higashioka, I think I said
yep,
it right. He was the catcher for Cole. What, am I saying it wrong, Terry?
Well, I think Higashioka,
sorry. So Higashioka. When he was catching Cole was old Cole. When Gary Sanchez, or what's taking over and possessing Gary Sanchez, is behind the dish, it was a completely different thing. So when Gary Sanchez was catching Tanaka, he didn't do great. When Higashioka was catching, he did terrible. But he did great with other catchers in New York. He had a 2.77 ERA with Austin Roman. He had a 2.83 ERA with John Ryan Murphy. He had a 1.74 Kratz, not that much as far as a sample size. And he did well with Brian McCann with 3.47. So if you give him a good catcher that knows how to call a game, I think that Tanaka would be a really good option. Yes, it's going to cost a little bit more to get Tanaka, but I would be willing to overpay Tanaka than overpay Jake Odorizzi. And the reason for that being is Tanaka has pitched in big game, high leverage situations. Granted, 2019, 2020 did not go the way that we'd wanted. I believe this year also internationally, like in the England game, that game was stupid. It didn't matter who pitched. Tanaka got rocked. Who else got rocked in that game?
Everybody who pitched. Everyone. I mean, the game was like 16 runs in the first. Like
it was stupid. It was dumb. Like, it wasn't his fault. That was just a product of a crappy situation for them. But like I said, I think if you put him in a situation where he has a good play caller behind the dish and pitch caller, just you will see vintage Masahiro Tanaka, and barring any miraculous setbacks.
Charlie, do you think that Klawecki can be that? I doubt that Vasquez can be that at this point in his career. He's only been average as a catcher behind the dish, but do you think Klawecki could really bring that out of him?
I would love to see, if Klawecki ends up being the personal catcher and he generates like a great rapport with Tanaka, awesome. I'm all for it. I don't care. I want my star pitchers to do well. Tanaka slots into Boston's rotation. Number one has an asterisk next to it because when Chris Sale's back, there's no one that's taking his spot. I don't care who you put in there. Chris Sale's one of the best pitchers in baseball, regardless of injury. When he's there, you don't want to face him. There's a chance that he strike out 3 or 4 times a game on 4 different pitches, 4 different ways. It's a slider in different spots. It's still a slider. You still can't hit the damn thing. Erod has the ability to be a number two. We're still going to wait to see what happens. Myocarditis is a damning injury and prognosis. So we'll see what happens with that. Tanaka has no issues. He does have 2,000 plus innings of work, 2,000 strikeouts career, counting both Japan and the United States. So yes, are innings a concern? Yes. But did he pitch 180, 200 innings this season? No. So this man is rested. I think it's worth giving this man 2-year deal minimum. I'd be willing to give him a 3rd year, possibly, because you're likely to hit gold at least one of those 2, maybe 3 years. It couldn't hurt you to at least give it a go. Granted, right now, it's either between the Yankees or it's going back to Japan. So the odds of the Red Sox getting and retaining his services are very slim. It's just me personally. I would love to see him there. I know that not everybody would.
Yeah, the innings, yeah, I was kind of saving that for my rebuttal. Just under 2,500 innings. And he had pitched just under 1,500 innings before he even got to the United States. So right. this is a lot of miles. I mean, he's 32, but the American equivalence is probably 37, 38 years old. That's the type of, arm and durability he's going to have. And that's scary to me. And he's trending the wrong way. I just don't see how that's going to get reversed. And suddenly he's going to be, 2017 Tanaka, who was okay. But, there's just too many arms, too much mileage. Corey Kluber, another guy I want absolutely no part of whatsoever, 35 years old. He's got only 1,342 innings, 1,000 innings less than Tanaka does, just for comparison. Jake Odorizzi, not counting, whatever he did in the minors, only just over 1,000 innings, much fresher. And then what we saw in the postseason last October in big games, 6 runs against the Indians, who had a bottom 5 offense. They were anemic all year long. Their pitching saved them. Bieber was phenomenal, won the Cy Young. Carrasco had a good year. The play sack was okay. And, you know, but that's what saved the Indians. And they still put up six runs on Tanaka. So I don't want to risk a third year not getting in the playoffs with Tanaka. And, you know, we're far apart on that, and that's fine. But, you know, it scares the crap out of me. Especially if we're talking multi-year. 1 year, I could see that.
I feel like 2 years is not really that much of a risk when you look at it, because he hasn't yet shown that the innings have caught up with him in terms of getting out on the mound. Now, maybe you could say, okay, this past October, he didn't do so great, but he didn't throw a lot of innings this year. Say what you will, 2020 was weird for everybody. We know the Japanese pitchers especially are very routine-oriented. That's always been a thing coming out of Japan. They want to throw in different days. They want to throw different kinds of innings. I feel like if you put him back into a situation where he controls his own destiny and you let him kind of set up the way that he wants to set up, he could very easily fall into a groove again, and you could see the old Masahiro Tanaka for at least one of the two seasons, like Charlie said.
I'd love to see it, but I'm highly skeptical. But we'll leave it at that. Let me just say one more thing. I would love it if the Yankees just brought him back, because I just think he's gonna, you know, have the year I'm afraid he's gonna have here, you know, with them. But, you know, like I said, we'll see what happens, I guess, in the coming days. All right, so we've each gotten through our first guy that we want no part of whatsoever. So, Charlie, go ahead. Who's the second guy on your no list?
The second guy on my no list is someone who it's like the 2020 remixed version of Carl Everett. I want no shares of Yasiel Puig. Now, it sucks because his agent is a star. But I want no shares of Yasiel Puig. The man is it's like a ball in a pinball machine. You have no idea where it's going to go or how much damage it's going to cause. You have no idea how many fights are going to get started on the same team or on the opposite team. You don't want someone who's going to be a problem in the clubhouse on a team that is already full of problems. You don't need to add another one. So Puig is going to command a decent amount of money. He got paid $9.7 million this year. Of course, that was shortened up because of the short season and whatnot. Yeah, he had 297. And I'm looking at his stats. He hits 20-plus home runs, strikes out a lot, steals decent amount of bases-ish, but is a problem in the club. He causes too many problems. I don't want the Red Sox to be in the news because a player got ejected because he just wasn't having a very good day for the 17th time in a row, because we had that Jackie Bradley Jr. and he handled it like a man. Yasiel Puig is 28 years old, stuck in a 7-year-old's body, like a 7-year-old stuck in a 28-year-old body. I don't want it. That's it. Done.
I totally agree with you, Charlie, and it makes for a less entertaining podcast, I think, when we all agree. But the way that I look at Yasiel Puig is it's like getting Manny Ramirez without having him in the lineup. It's like if you had Manny Ramirez and you just had to sit him on the bench. You have all the problems that Manny caused by being himself in the clubhouse, and yet you're not getting the same production at all. You're getting a quarter of that, maybe less. And it's a shame because I think he showed flashes a couple of years ago of being a brilliant player who, if he could just kind of figure it out, just settle down and learn to be an adult and play the game like it was a job and not like it was a sport, he could be brilliant. And he has the tools to do it. He just hasn't put it all together, and he's 28, so he's not going to do it now. I wouldn't pay him what he's looking for, and I wouldn't want to sign those problems. Which, like you said, is unfortunate, because if I could sign Rachel Luba to be the PR person for the Red Sox, I would do that right now. She's turned her clients into stars from problem pitchers and head cases. I mean, to number one and number two talked about guys in the league, even when they're not even in the postseason.
Right.
Yeah. It's really a shame. Terry, what are your thoughts?
I am putting Charlie's brilliant quote on Twitter right now. So it's posted on the podcast account. And now I'm going to retweet it from my primary account, which I have raised a lot of hell on today. 30-year-old stuck in a 7-year-old's body. That's just perfect. Almost perfect, actually. Now,
oh, no, 7-year-old stuck in a 30-year-old's body.
I botched it. I did.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, 7-year-old stuck in a 28-year-old's body because that's kind of how it is. The temper tantrum and stuff. I delete that immediately. Redo it because Twitter, you can hide stuff.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. Yasiel Puig is a circus act. He's a one-man circus act. And our outfield is so bad. Like, as much as I would hate the move, I hate it a little less this year than I would have last season. That being said, do I still want him? No. Absolutely not. But I don't like him. I just saw a report, I think last week, that multiple coaches on the Dodger staff says the guy doesn't listen. He doesn't. You can't coach him. He's uncoachable. And
if I were to tell you, Terry, that he'd been in the league for 7 years, you wouldn't buy that. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's been 7 years to me. I feel like it's been like four. Because players who are 28 and been in the league for that long, they don't act like this. Not unless they're stars. And he's not a star.
Right.
He doesn't produce like a star.
And what does it say that nobody, you know, made much of an effort to sign him? I guess the Braves did, and then he got COVID, and then they just said, nope, okay, we're done. And then nobody else wanted him. And that was a super last-minute signing. His market was completely dry. And his name's come up a few times, you know, this winter, but there's no serious traction. I'm really uncomfortable with him. I mean,
I feel like, you know, if anyone could handle it, it's probably Cora, you know, but I also want no part of it, you know, so I agree with you both.
Yeah. And I've said this before on the show, I think. I was a corrections officer for 3 years, dealt with inmates, a whole range of from creepy to murderers. I dealt with all of them. And
I can't believe I didn't know that. This is awesome.
Yeah.
So much.
And, you know, people don't typically faze me, especially after doing that job for a few years. But when I watch him run his tongue across his baseball bat, it gives me the creeps. It gives me the creeps. And
Terry, do you know which player I find really obnoxious in Major League Baseball?
Who's that?
Is Juan Soto of the Washington Nationals.
Oh, I love Juan Soto.
Juan Soto's at-bats. He tries to pimp every pitch by, like, staring into the pitcher. Just watch him one time. Because if I'm a pitcher and I strike out Juan Soto on three pitches, I'm giving him the Joe Kelly this face.
That's the trend, though. I mean, it's okay to pimp.
I wish you were recording video. We could totally make Charlie a star right there with that face.
That's a Joe Kelly face. I'm a huge fan of Joe Kelly. If Joe Kelly came into my life, I'd be like, dude, I just want to buy you dinner. Please bring your wife. I'll buy her dinner, too. Like, you two both. Icons. You could do no wrong in my heart.
Charlie's like a dinner connoisseur. Just
I guess so.
Yeah. Right. Dinners and desserts, bro. Let me tell you.
Yeah. So, 5%. Man, I'm just like a dumpster fire tonight.
You're going full Yasiel Puig.
Yeah. I don't even know if I can get my charger in there. So, would I hate Puig on a one-year deal? I would probably honestly like it better than Bradley. But, man, that's just one route I just don't want to go. I have this plugged into two outlets right now. What are the chances it's going to work? Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm kind of enjoying watching you try to figure this charger out.
Yeah. Oh.
Dude, he's a correct.
Anybody,
it is charging. It is charging.
He is not the tech genius.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. If I have problems with my equipment, it's like a 30-minute phone call to a friend that lives 50 miles away to troubleshoot this emergency, which is always 5 minutes before the show. So,
Terry,
yeah.
Can you plug it in? Oh, damn.
Yeah, we're in. It's nice. It's holding steady at 5%. And we got two more players to go. So, Job, go ahead. Who is your number two guy that you want no part of?
So, I know, Terry, before I even get there, you're going to call me kind of a hypocrite for wanting parts of Masahiro Tanaka and not wanting parts of it. But I want zero shares in Hope Quintana to steal Charlie's line. I'm sell on Quintana for some of the same reasons. I mean, people like him because he's consistent. He gives you innings. 200 innings for like seven straight seasons. He's got a couple of seasons where he has 136 innings and an injury, and then this past season, we're not going to count. He only threw 10 innings this year before multiple IL stints. He's got about 1,500 innings on his arm. He's a career 3.73 ERA guy, but I want zero part of him, and the reasons are this. A, he's gone downhill in the last 3 years. He went from having, you know, a 3.74 ERA in 2017 to a 4.03 to then a 4.68, and then 2020, we're not going to count it, only 10 innings, but a 4.45. Before that, he had, you know, some brilliant seasons in 2014, 13, even as far as 16, where he was throwing ERA in the threes. Since then, it's been mid fours, high fours. I see bad trends. He's 32 years old come spring training, and the mileage is starting to catch up to him. I want zero part of Jose Quintana, and you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. I think you have to pay him a three-year deal. It's going to be somewhere in the range of $38 to $40 million. Maybe even more than that. I think he is the guy at the top of those mid-tier starters that there seem to be a lot of in this market, one of being Odorizzi, another that we could say is Tanaka. He's kind of at the top of the to-do list for a lot of teams in that category, and I want zero part of him.
So I feel dirty. Like, I feel like I need to take a shower after I say this. Like, I feel so bad. I'm impartial to Jose Quintana. I would be okay getting him. I would be totally okay facing him because you don't know what you're going to get. You do, however, know that if there's 33 starts for one pitcher, you're going to see someone pitch 33 times. He doesn't miss a start. He's had 254 career games, 247 career starts. He missed three starts in 2020, three starts in 2012, and one other start, and that was only in 2019. He's going to eat innings. He's going to strike out a lot of guys. Yes, there's been, as Joe mentioned, I agree, a little bit of regression where he had a low 3 ERA, 3.32, 3.2, 3.36, and it kind of did jump up when he went to the National League. Why does that seem a little bit more alarming? Your ninth batter is the pitcher, so you should be having a low ERA.
Your ERA should not be going up when you go to the National League. That's just not how it works.
It should go lower. So I do agree with Job there. He probably will get some team to fall victim and sucker and give him a 2+ year deal. If Quintana is okay on a 1 year, let's see how you do, like Adrian Beltre type contract, this is the player I would give it to, where I would pay a little bit more than $6 to $7 million. I would give him a 1 year, $10 million deal, or 1 year, $8 million deal with a boatload of incentives to see if he can actually do it. Innings pitch, wins. The guy's never won more than 13 games. He's hit 13 three times in his career. He hit 13 in 18. He hit 13 in 19. He hit it in 2016 as well. So maybe he does a little bit better in Boston. I'm curious to see how he's going to do against teams where it's difficult, more difficult competition. You're facing the Yankees. You're facing the Blue Jays. Orioles are a joke. Tampa Bay is going to be good. They always have our number. You're no longer facing teams like the Reds, garbage. Pirates, garbage. Cardinals, so-so. Brewers, so-so. You're going to actually face stronger competition. So this is a show me what you have, prove to me that you're good type contract that I would give to
him. So I would give him that contract. I want no part of him at the market that he's projected at, which is a 2 to 3 year deal. That's about 10 to 12 million a year. But at 1 year deal, I don't have a problem with it at 8 sure. to 10, but I just yeah. don't think that that's his market. I think his market's going to be higher than that, and I want no part of that. What really scares me is, you know, he was still in Chicago when he jumped leagues, right? He went from the White Sox to the Cubs.
Yep.
Is that because the Cubs have a bigger market? You know, there's no indication that the teams that he's facing are any stronger. In fact, normally when you go to the National League, your ERA drops half a point, not rises a point and a half.
Sure.
My question there is that because he's being asked to do too much in a big market? You know, if you put him in front of the Boston media and he can't handle the pressure of it, he might crack. And that's normally not something that I would consider to be a concern, but you're going to have to pay this guy for 3 years. And dead money is not something this team can afford, considering we won't spend money now because of the crappy contract situation that Dombrowski's left us in.
I don't even think it's that. I don't think the Red Sox are going to spend money, period. Like, the Red Sox are trying to be like the 1998 Tampa Bay Devil Rays when they were the Devil Rays, and their entire, like, I remember I was reading an article 1 year that the Tampa Bay Devil Rays and the Pittsburgh Pirates both had paid their entire team less money than Alex Rodriguez was making by himself. That was a remarkable statistic to let you know just how ridiculous some Major League Baseball contracts are. The Red Sox are doing everything they possibly can to reset and start over.
I mean, the Red Sox in that instance, right? In some instances, you see owners, they treat their teams like a business.
Sure.
That's never been acceptable in Boston, where you just treat it like a business, you churn out a little bit of money, you're never that competitive, and you move on. We don't accept that in Boston. We're championship or bust. And for me, it's very upsetting to think that that's kind of the way that we're going. But I think they've moved on. You know, they now have the Undisputed Network. They have Liverpool Football Club. They have a bunch of stuff going on elsewhere, the business opportunities. Their focus is not the Boston Red Sox, because we're no longer, frankly, the marquee of their sales pitch. It's now Liverpool Football Club or Anfield or, you know, oh, we can bring Winter to Fenway, all this stuff. So it upsets me, but it definitely, you know, I'm hoping that this is a short-term thing and they will eventually realize they need to create revenue in Boston through winning. I just don't see them spending any money for the next 3 or 4 years, and you're going to have to spend some money on Quintana. Whether or not that's a risk or not, we can disagree, but I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, I think we will start spending money, you know, big money after, not this coming season, but the season after, because the Pedroia money comes off. JD comes off, Price comes off. I think that's, you know, where you do start spending. But with Quintana, I think it's not out of the realm. He's going to have to sign a one-year deal. I mean, his ERA has been well into the fours the last 2 years. He's coming off his worst two seasons. He made the most money he's made in his career, $10 million. And change both of those years. So I don't think he's going to make more than that, you know, coming off his, you know, top, you know, his two worst seasons. You know, he's probably in the $6 to $8 million a year range. And so it's just how many years. Now, I don't want to go this route. I don't want him either. But to play devil's advocate just a little bit here, what are the pitching programs he's been on? Because I don't think the Cubs were that spectacular. They could never figure out the bullpen. They could never get their relievers pitching well. And then outside of Lester and Darvish here and there, I mean, who else really pitched well, you know, with the Cubs in recent years? Hamels did, I guess, but you know, these are, you know, different pedigrees than Quintana anyway. And I don't know what the coaching staff was in Chicago, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, but they weren't making the playoffs. Let's put it that way. So I guess I'm just, I just have a slight curiosity as to what he could do on, you know, a Red Sox program, a Rays program, you know, a Dodgers program, you know, so maybe we'll find out, and hopefully not find out in Boston, but yeah, and his market is quiet. That's like a, it's like a funeral home. You can't hear a thing, you know? So,
yeah. Well, you know, I think that's a lot of those guys in that mid tier. I mean, we don't hear much about Orizzi. We don't hear much about Quintana. We will. I think we will. As soon as Bauer signs somewhere, if he ever signs somewhere, we're going to hear a lot about these mid names. Cause I think a lot of teams are, you know, like the Mets, for example, are going to be in on a lot of guys. They're not going to sign everybody. So a lot of these guys are going to probably, you know, wait for the dominoes to fall and fly off the board after the fact, especially as we get closer to spring training. You know, the market will develop fast, I think, once the top guys sign. And honestly, at this point, who knows when that's going to be.
Right.
Bauer provided an update yesterday via Rachel Luba and Luba Sports Network. From a lot of teams, they're having conversations, but they're nowhere close. So we might not have, you know, an idea who's signing where, what the market looks like until 3 weeks before spring training, 2 weeks before spring training.
Yeah, but that could also be her blowing smoke.
It could be.
We don't
but
know.
Also, I mean, even if he signs a deal next week, right? I mean, we're still, that puts us less than a month out from pitchers and catchers. You know, it's kind of crazy to me how late the market is developing, but I think they'll develop fast when it does because time is of the essence, especially if the players union and Tony Clark seems like he wants to, you know, get the season going on time, put the pressure on the owners.
Yeah, and I think we are going to see it going. I think next week will kind of be pivotal towards that. Now that we do know, you know, spring training is probably going to start on time. So the final player, which is my second player, James Paxton from the Yankees. Now, I will say this, I'd probably rather have him than Tanaka, but he's still another guy. I just don't trust the durability. And if you asked me a week ago if there was a possibility we could sign him, I'd say no way in hell. No way in hell, because he had a workout. His fastball velocity was 6 or 7 miles an hour below what, you know, his previous velocity was. And he's coming off a shoulder injury. So you're like, okay, that makes sense. He's just not healthy. Well, he's had another workout since then, and his fastball's come up a few miles an hour to like the 94-mile-an-hour range. So it's trending the right way. Maybe he does end up with a team. I can't imagine it's going to be for more than 1 year. He's going to have to give 1 year of solid health, and I think he's 31, 32 already. And
31.
I just don't want to be the team that plays with fire with him. You know, I should have his stats up in front of me, but I don't know if he's ever pitched more than what, 160, 170 innings?
160.1, Terry. Look at that. You're right on the nose.
All right. Without this. Yep. Yeah. Usually I have the reference page up.
He's never pitched full season.
Yeah.
He really hasn't. I mean, that would be my concern.
Yeah. So yeah,
like that's, I mean, I completely understand why you would want no shares in him because of everything going because of everything going on right now. I think the issue with Paxton right now is if you were to give him it's like fool's gold, you know? You don't know what you're going to get. You might get 6, 7 innings, and then he gets rocked or he gets injured, and then he's out for 2 months or 3 months. You just don't know what you're going to get with him. I wouldn't be willing to give him half of the money he got last year. I give him exactly like a prove me contract. I give him a 1 year, $4-5 million deal. Like, I wouldn't risk it for him. I would be willing to pay Corey Kluber more than I would Paxton. But I'm a sucker for Kluber. So,
as am I. I kind of wish that Terry had picked Kluber as his "I don't want shares in" guy, so that we could talk about it the whole time.
Do that to me.
But Terry, I agree with you. I think his health has really just not been there. He does have shown some real promise. I mean, he had a 2.98 and a 304 in 2 years in Seattle there. Especially the 298 right before getting traded to the Yankees is, to me, kind of a big deal. I think he could definitely pitch. I just, there's no innings here. There's no reliability. And I think the one thing that we do need is an innings eater. I mean, I would take Martin Perez back. You know,
yes, at, my at goodness.
He would be one of my big, big name guys that I would go out and sign. I'm kind of still upset that we declined his option. I realized we didn't know what the market was going to be, but I would go sign him tomorrow instead of taking James Paxton at whatever money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm actually really curious about is, as far as Paxton went, because I remember when Paxton joined, when he became a major leaguer, his first year was 2013?
2013.
I remember I was like, oh, James Paxton, this guy looks like he can be really good. And I picked him up in fantasy baseball. I was like, oh, man, I have to wait until next year to see what he can do. And then the following year, he got injured again. And I was like, okay, next year, he'll get better. And then he got injured again. Year four, same thing. It's the same damn story. It's like Harry Potter. He somehow figures out a way to get out of this like shitstorm doing whatever. But I'm curious, against righties and lefties, how does he do against righties and lefties? And also, how does he do at Fenway Park? I want to know that. So I'm looking that up right now as we speak. I want to know how he does against righties. I want to know how he does at Fenway. So let's see. At Fenway Park, he's 6-1 against the Red Sox. I'm totally okay not having to deal with that BS again. At Fenway
Park, get him out of our way.
The Red Sox 1-1 with a 5.91 ERA.
Sell.
My dream scenario is that the Yankees bring both of them back, Paxton and Tanaka, and then just be completely screwed. Yeah,
I mean, he's going to be 32 before spring training, or actually just turned 32. I agree with you, Terry. He's one of those guys that if the Red Sox were to sign him, it wouldn't even excite me a little bit, because I think you're providing more holes to the roster than you are answering questions.
At that point, you're just making bets on who's going on the DL first, Evaldi or Paxton. And I would probably say Paxton.
It's a Band-Aid for a bullet wound that is this rotation, right? I mean, he could hold it together for, you know, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Maybe he'll make four starts, and then he's gone, you know? So I just have zero interest in that. I think it's the opposite of what the Red Sox need. What we need is dependability, and he's the opposite of that. So I'm out on James Paxton as well. I'm glad you picked him.
Boris is probably asking for, like, four-year deals.
You know, at 32 years old, he doesn't have that much mileage because he's been hurt all the time. I think that's probably exactly what he's asking for. He's only thrown 750 innings in 8 years of major league service time. That's insane.
That's dumb. He's only had two career complete games.
That's terrible.
Late in the 2019 season, he pulled a glute muscle, and I went on Twitter. I'm like, what's a glute muscle? And someone told me, he goes, that's your ass muscle. And I'm like, well, that sounds like a Paxton injury, you know? So, yeah. So anyway, out on him. So let's wrap it up with just this one question. Of all the guys we've had, James Paxton, Jose Quintana, Yasiel Puig, Masahiro Tanaka, Jackie Bradley Jr., Jake Odorizzi, who's the most likely to end up with the Red Sox?
JBJ.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we did JBJ. I was going to say probably Odorizzi, but I think JBJ ends up coming back on a team-friendly contract because I think other teams are like, nah, we don't want that. And I think the Red Sox are also trying to save face by bringing back someone that a lot of fans do like.
Well, you know, a lot of fans have been, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid that they've been, you know, getting fed by Red Sox ownership and management for the last 3 years on how he's the best defensive player ever. And they'll just listen to ownership on that. And, you know, bringing back Cora in a lot of ways. I don't know, Charlie, I wasn't following what your take was on the whole Cora situation, but I know Terry and I agree. That was a big, you know, let's get Boston media off of us for having a terrible season and, frankly, constructing a roster with a lot of holes. I feel like that would be the biggest Red Sox ownership move ever, to go tell Chaim Bloom, you got to go sign this guy because the fans like him, and that way they won't notice that we're not spending money.
Right.
And Charlie was anti-Bloom like I was, so that makes the three of us.
I'm still anti-Bloom.
Oh, I meant anti-Cora. Yeah, but you are anti-Bloom.
Yeah, I feel like such a negative Nancy now. It sucks. Like, yeah. Well, what team do you support? The Red Sox. Who do you hate right now?
The Red Sox.
Yeah, some of them. Yeah, I can't stand them. I can't wait to get Terry a Craig Kimbrel hat so he can rock 46.
Big fan.
That'll never happen. Not a Biden guy. It'll probably be 47 within a year when Harris gets...
God,
Harris gets inaugurated.
I had to.
Let me say this, though. I totally get your logic with Bradley, and that could very well happen. But I think there's just something about Yasiel Puig that Heim Bloom likes, and I think there's a very good chance he could end up on the roster. He's going to be way cheaper, and I think Oda Rizzi stands a good chance at coming to Boston. So I think those two are extremely likely, but I guess on that note, any final thoughts?
Just please don't go get us Yasiel Puig. Like, if you go get Jackie Bradley Jr., I'll be upset, but at least I know what he is. If you give me
don't do that.
You give me another question mark and another headache to deal with throughout the season, I'm going to be so upset. I don't know, Terry, what the show would have to look like every week if we had to talk about the new antics of Yasiel Puig, because I'll put up with it with Manny. You know, I love watching Manny be Manny, like going into the monster to take a leak in the middle of a game, like all this stuff. Crazy. It's hilarious. It's hilarious when you're hitting 315 and hitting 35 home runs. It's not funny when you're hitting 260. So I want no part of Yasiel Puig.
Shares, baby. No shares. Yeah, we're gonna start doing that, the no share category. No shares. I want no shares of that shit.
I like it. We gotta make that a segment.
Yeah, don't worry. Just wait till I start my toss the sauce segment. You're gonna be laughing, loving it. Living to love, loving to live.
Well, all right. For the listening audience, we'll probably be back by the end of the weekend at the latest to discuss anything going on. I boldly assume that there will be a show by that point. So check back with us then, and have a good rest of your week. Hopefully it's mellow. There's a lot going on in the world right now, so hopefully things kind of chill out and we can start focusing again on sports. Football playoffs coming up, and NBA is underway, so should keep us pretty busy in between all these signings for MLB. So take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.